Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Gnostic Media's Unspun, episode number 99. Sorry for the delay. I had to pick someone up from the airport, and we had some audio trouble, and had to get things worked out. Everything should be set and going now. Thanks, everyone, who supported and donated to the show this last week. I really appreciate everyone's support. It's greatly needed and appreciated. We're back with the ever-popular Dr. Hans Utter, who's been on, what is this, your 678th time, something like that? 900th time?
I can't really count that high. I failed basic math, so.
Yeah. Being a musician and all, you wouldn't study math.
No, not necessary. Just got to know where the one is, that's all. Just got to find that one. But. Great to be back. We did have some snafus there. I'm glad to say it wasn't my fault. That's good.
Well, this time it was on my end, apparently. So I got it worked out. I apparently had to rearrange and clean and do things, and I missed a cable plug-in, apparently, somewhere along the line. So,
Well, I just, today I just came down with this terrible cold. I've been, like, sneezing nonstop all day. I woke up feeling great, and then I just... The weather warmed up, and suddenly I can't stop sneezing. But well, let's do it, man. You know, there's no time like the present. So
yeah, well, you know, sorry, I had that cold, you know, for 2 weeks, and it's one of the worst ever. It got up in my sinuses, and it took forever to get it out, but it was terrible. So what do we have in store for the audience today? I know. You know, you called it reverse engineering media reality replacement and mass music occult initiation.
Yep, that's basically what it is. It's a title. We just got to build something out of that. It's kind of like a Hollywood thing, you know. I just that was something I've been thinking about. You know, normally, to be honest, like I'll write an outline, and it'll take like 4 or 5 shows to cover it. So today, I thought I'll ask you what it's about. Now, well, let's just start off. So. Initially, it was the initial title I had was the end game, you know, the end. Basically, it's all over, right? So I decided to say reverse engineering. It's a little more positive, a little more uplifting, instead of saying like you guys are going down the. No, not that at all. But this is in a certain way, it's just kind of a follow up, and I wanted to have a bit more of a discourse as well. But primarily. Reality replacement. I mean, it's kind of like hormone replacement, right? Type of surgery you can't go back from. That's something that's definitely going on. And, the aspect of the being initiated into occult practices, so to speak, which occult, not obviously not using the word it, occulted, but occult as in, you know, these you call it depravity, et cetera, that are actually, it's gotten so blatant now, even from when we did our series, it's just ramped up from there to a point of such extremity that I thought I really wanted to kind of, comment on that, in that these things are going on at the same time. And well, you can chime in, whatever. But the idea is that, you know, we don't know it's real or not. There's a rumor this has happened, this hasn't happened. You know, fake events, non-fake events, right? All this stuff is more and more rapidly being merged, right? So we don't really know what's real or what's not. The media, you know, which represented sort of the bastion of reality, right? You see it on TV, it's real. Hey, they're on the moon, it's real, you know? So, like...
It's not femmed out in the California desert or no. Nevada desert.
It's not. I think Charles Manson actually. He landed on the moon, man. Charles Manson. But yeah, go ahead and dive in. I mean, I got a lot of material, but that was my title to see what you gleaned from it. You know.
Well, you know, I'm interested to see where we're going with it. I'm seeing all of the crap and the I'm all cold over here. We've had like almost 5.5 inches of rain in 24 hours in Southern California.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Now, here it's been absolutely freezing, you know, below zero. And then today is the first day it got warm. And then literally, like I said, I just got initially, I was sneezing, you know, eyes are red. And, you know, it's very odd, but it was, face of weather, right? Total shift. But I was feeling better when it was freezing cold, you know, who knows why.
All right. Well, you know, so we've kind of covered, I mean, we go all the way back to our episode on War of the Worlds, for instance, we showed how the War of the Worlds was actually not just creating hysterics, but replacing the reality with what people were hearing being beamed into their living room, right? And, you know, so this new reality was inserted in there that was created by CBS and Frank Stanton and the Princeton Radio Project, along with the, I guess, OSS at the time. But and then we followed that up to, well, we went through the whole music showing how they were creating reality, getting people to do degenerate behavior, etc. Then we did the episode on Pokemon, which was direct reality replacement. People getting killed, walking into cars, walking into trains, and all this crap with this stupid Pokemon nonsense. And then, taking it further and further each step, they're always nudging it along. So where are we going this time?
Well, I wanted to just, you know, give some antecedents and some sort of dissections of this because, it is definitely on, I would say it's on a deeper level, right? So we're looking at, sort of said it's a war of consciousness, on a level of the consciousness of humanity as it is. So there is, it's a desire to actually warp reality itself as perceived, as created through the, you know, there's a collective sort of mind that we inhabit, right? Whether you want to or not. I mean, you still live in a society. If you go to a village, you know, and you've seen that movie, The Lost City of Z, you know, they go to some tribe and they're, you know, cannibals, whatever. You go there, that's a whole different reality. And if you're cut off from your reality, cut off from your normal experience, you're stepping into their sort of universe, right? So there, and this has been studied by Ewan Cameron and many others, Kurt Lewin.
There you go. All our favorite CIA personnel.
Yeah, so I just want to read a quote here. This is from the philosopher Bruno Latour. Okay. To be without time, temporality, historicity was one thing, but to find oneself without a place, without spatiality, was something else, albeit equally serious. And yet, if there was an intractable hiatus of the present, there was just as much an intractable hiatus in belonging to a space. If a lack of time results in a sense of suffocation, a lack of space ends up asphyxiating. Capitalism is a morbid religion of space just as much as it is a morbid religion of time. For just as it defines the future by means of the past, short-circuiting the irreducible hiatus of the present, in the same way it defines that which is universal, or we might say global, by short-circuiting the very earth on which we stand. The earth becomes nothing more than a backdrop for the agency of money. There are no more places, since there is no longer a place characterized by the hiatus. I thought that was kind of interesting. It may take a bit of unpacking for that. But so we're looking at is not just, there's a sense of temporality, right? But there's also a sense of place. It's a sense of, it's in fact, you could say it's a reality of place, right? That's kind of what's, you know, being eroded. It's the sort of the last vestiges, the last sort of strongholds, you could say, of the human spirit, human mind, you know, those people taking DMT like me every day, that's where we're at right now. Just kidding. I'm glad I'm not doing that. But the fact is that the space itself is being taken. It's one thing to manipulate an event, right? So War of the Worlds is a manipulated event, right? It's another thing when even you have sort of a game scenario like Pokemon Go where people are engaged in an activity. But then when you start to take away place and space itself, and I think that is when I talk about reality replacement, it's more than just having an event encoded or just, you know, going into something. It's kind of like almost an entire, I think, that, you know, it's the end game is really an erasure of what we'd call the world that we experience around us. Now, is that possible to do that? In ways it is, yes. And there's a level of the collective, there is a collective sense of reality, right, that we experience. So you go to a place, you've probably noticed that, right? As you start to wake up more, you start to notice the dissociations more than other people experience, right? So that's what I want to get into, is that reality replacement has now gone beyond just creating events, creating scenarios, but to the level of trying to fundamentally destabilize any potential ground at all that exists except for this hive mind.
You haven't seen, I don't think, my series with Jacob Duhlman. We've been, you know, based on Anatoly Fomenko's leads and some other stuff, we started investigating the whole notion of the Dark Ages being faked. And boy, was there more evidence of that than we initially thought. And Jacob has found so much. It's, you know, we've pretty much exposed the whole thing. But you can go all the way back to Joseph Scaliger and Denis Batavius in France in the 16th century and see how they've begun to alter reality. The important thing was that the world's largest empire at the time collapsed or was forcefully collapsed, Tartary, and then to erase its existence as well as the history of its people, which is our history, they created the Dark Age, inserted a 1,000-year black hole into history, and then like a Thrisby threw altered contemporary stories back into time at intervals of 333, I think it was 1,052 and 1,800 years, and then this filled in and created this fake new history based on Rome being in Italy and all of this nonsense that, you know, is all apparently Middle Ages and not ancient, and it all actually happened in Tartary. So we can see that, you know, from Saturn, Kronos, Saturnalia worship and all of this, they've rewritten time so that we couldn't understand our history, our true connection to the past. They've done all of these things in steps to remove us further and further from who and what we are. So, you know, it seems fitting that they would, you know, continue this line of progress. In fact, you know, we went all the way back, connecting it to Edward Bernays's family, all the way back. Like, Edward Bernays's grandfather wrote the biography for Joseph Scaliger. So these families, and then the CIA and intelligence community, they've been specifically focused around this area for, you know, for generations. But now, for the first time, you know, the public, you know, with the shows that Jacob has done, the public can actually see what was really done for the first time. And now we can actually, you know, begin to see Tartary and what it really was and begin to formulate a new history. So at the same time, they're ramping it up over here, but it's coming undone entirely over here.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, that's pretty much kind of along the lines that I'm referring to. It's something, you know, I've got a lot of different points, you know, narrative warfare, information warfare, but they're really, what I'm ascertaining and seeing is that there is, you know, I think we've all been in, you know, how about that Three Dog Night song, right? You go to the party and you don't know what's going on, right? You can step into an environment if you're already living in that environment and it shifts around you. The whatever you want to call it. I mean, I think there is, you know, whatever, there is some kind of collective underpinnings of consciousness that informs the, you know, the reality we experience, especially if most people have been brought on board into these processes, right?
We just lost you, dude. You there?
And, you know, it's, and, you know, it's very jarring, but let me just go back. So a root part of this is this idea of the sacred time, right? So you find this, sorry, my mic stand needs some Viagra here, but
I put this new microphone on it, and this microphone is not heavy enough, so it constantly has this stuff on me. You know?
I will trade. I need
to put a chunk of lead on the bottom of this thing.
Yeah. But so, you know, a big part of this is, you know, taking fundamental human experiential structures, right? Natural structures, the renewal of the world every year. You have a new year, and that's kind of why I'm a little bit inspired to do this besides Jay-Z, who I'll get into in a second. But the idea of this renewal of the world. So in sort of a traditional religious culture, you have this, it's called the axis mundi, right? The axis of the earth, which is the center point. So even if 50 generations go, they're still in that, you know, linked to that same connection. And that renewal of that time, right, which is like a divine time. It's a temporality, but it's out, you know, it's outside, it's raised up. It's sort of a mythic type of time. So you have the recreation of sacred events in the present, sort of a mythological time, which creates this unity between generations, but also, you know, there's a depth or a holiness, so to speak, to experience every time the year is recreated. So all, you know, but this particular aspect of human consciousness is what is being manipulated. This is where it's being inserted in, which is what I want to get to, is that this false time, and that's where I'll get into the initiatory practices, is being inserted into the basic, you know, human sort of mythological time. You call it sacred time, right? So the time out of time, right? So you have, you know, every year, you know, when you have the real, you know, when you actually had a real Christmas or a New Year's, right, when it was actually connected, there was a sense of total renewal, right? There's a death and a rebirth, but yet your ancestor did it. And so you're connected with all those chains, right? And it can be, you know, manifest in all kinds of different ways. So you have this idea that the templus, which means the temple or the edifice of culture, right, that is there, which stands through all the generations, and the tempus, the moving horizon of space and time. So it's that perspective, right? That's what's being manipulated, right? So it's that connection of what, you know, like I could wake up this morning and say, you know, it really is limp, but this, you know, I wake up this morning and say, you know, today is, you know, I'm going to sow seeds. You know, I'm going to plant my corn. And I could, you know, I could be complaining and bitching. I said, no, this is like I'm fulfilling this ancient connection to the soil, right, and to the place. And that's very clear key too, is that it's also locked into a locality and a place that becomes sacred because it's linked to tradition, right? And then, you know, the mystical aspect is different, but this is the exact, like I said, this is like the soft point. This is where the knife is driven in, right? And then from the Kubark counterintelligence manual, disruption of time-space image, quote, the principle is that sessions should be planned as to disrupt the source's sense of chronological order. Some interrogatees can be regressed by persistent manipulation of time, by retarding and advancing clocks and serving meals at all times, days and nights are jumbled. So basically, the main point from Donald Hebb and Ewan Cameron, and don't forget Ewan Cameron was there for the denazification of Germany, which is a great laboratory for where a lot of this stuff was rolled out, is that their return to a childlike state. They don't know where they are in time and place. They've lost all connection, and this dissociation, this disconnection, right, which is being done. At the same time, you're providing the mythological aspect, the sacred aspect that's been stripped away, right? So instead of, you know, Christ, you have Jay-Z, or you have, you know, John Bon Jovi, or even worse, man, if you worship Bryan Adams, you are truly damned. But summer of 69, though, there's a, go ahead.
Well, you know, so, you know, we always expose these, all these shows up. And there was that whole thing of what's his name that ran the Newlywed Show, Chuck Berry, I guess, who was an assassin. They, you know, Julia Roberts and what's his name that's in every spy movie? You know, the spy guy that's in all the spy movies, George Clooney.
Clooney, yeah.
So they make a movie of this guy showing how he's a spy. So now, and you just said, you know, like Jesus Christ. So now they've got. Jean-Claude Van Damme is back in this new episode called Jean-Claude Van Johnson, and he's actually admitting that he's a spy running around doing all of these operations as he's acting. So it's like a double rap where they're telling you what they're doing while pretending it's like this comedy, you know, skit of you know, this guy who was a dried up actor, and they're bringing him back 30 years later as this like undercover agent Van Johnson, right? So it's this same, you know, this, well, it, you know, they're portraying him because it's Jean-Claude, so they constantly call him JC in this show, you know?
Yeah. Like, and there's another, you know, to be honest, I did see that. I didn't watch it yet, but there's a couple movies on that same premise. So it came out a couple of years ago. And that's exactly linking into what I'm trying to talk about, is because this stuff is not just overnight, right? It's not an overnight sensation like the Frank Zappa album. It is, I'm not going to bring out my whole spreadsheet and all this other stuff, but you look at each generation, what children's books were they reading? What were the important movies they saw? And then you look at the pop music and how that morphed and brought them along and on a specific process or those connections. And the same thing goes with the actors, right? So look at Robert De Niro. He's always playing Satan. The actors show up again and again, too, because this is part of this collective dream. This is there's a genesis, right? So there's, if you're part of, say you're Native American culture and you go and you do your sweat lodge ceremony, you call the Great Spirit. But imagine suddenly, you know, and this is, you know, for 1,000 years you've done this, it's suddenly gone, and what you have in front of it is a TV screen, and this becomes fractured. And then you've got and the actors themselves fulfill different roles. Robin Williams, you can look at the actors, at the roles they play, especially related to developmental phases. And you know, again, it's multivalent. So you could have been 15 when you saw the Dead Poets Society. You could have been 5. And then Robin Williams is always going to call back that character, right? So this is, you know what I'm saying? So it's not just character acting, right? It's not like when they had the old, you know, I like the old real low-budget noir movies, you know, like super, you know, like $2,500 budget movies from like 1935. They're still better than the garbage they're putting out now. But then you get character acting. Right, but this is different, right? These are stars, but they're doing archetypal roles, and this is the clue. They have archetypal roles, right? So you're looking at this sort of the mythological structure, the superstructure of experience that would be filled by religion, by whatever, right? By something. There would, in any functioning society, I would say before the 20th century, there was never a means to subvert it, and there never was enough firepower to cover so many different layers to create such an interconnecting model. Because that's what I'm trying to get, is this dream space, this mythological space, which allows reality replacement because of the loss of sense of time, of grounding, and especially of place. Because a place is not just a space, it's a place, it's where you are, who you are, and all the different levels.
Yeah, they're getting rid of the who, what, where, and when, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so, well, I'll just, so one thing, you know, again, there's the children's books. You know, there's that really, when I started to kind of look into this, there's some really creepy shit.
Yeah, for sure.
How about the Midnight Kitchen? Charlie, was it Maurice Sendak? I mean, that's like a, you know, a gay extravaganza, a little pedophilia extravaganza with a naked boy flying around the kitchen. Have you met, you know what I'm talking about? Charlie's Jury. This is like 3 or 4 years old. You read this picture book, right? But I wanted to cite another work, which I actually had to read. It came out, you know, a little bit before my time, and this is called Go Ask Alice. You familiar with that?
I don't remember that one. I read my son tons of stories. I don't remember that.
No, well, Go Ask Alice was really a, okay, PG-13, really a messed up book. It was ostensibly, and I was required to read this in my class on alcoholism that I took in 10th grade. And Go Ask Alice is a diary of, supposedly a diary of a girl that, you know, she became a burnout and took drugs and, ending tragically, but it's her diary. And Beatrice Sparks, the author, also edited a number of teen diaries. So if you haven't experienced this book, well, first of all, notice the name, Go Ask Alice, right? So it's the name of the book, which was published, I think, you know, 74, 75, whatever, right? Is based on, of course, the Jefferson Airplane song, which references back to, you know, Lewis Carroll and all right. his. But
right.
So, but this is an example of a book, right, that I was forced to read, you know, and I'm sure other people out there maybe were. I mean, I was in a sort of arcane kind of hippie holdover school. So I'm sure by the time I read that book, it had been pulped in other places. But I want to just read some entries from this book. And this is a kid's book. This is like 12 to 14 years old, and it's required reading in this class, right? So just start from the beginning past. So this is the first entry. It's a diary entry, you know, it's okay. Yesterday, I remember thinking I was the happiest person in the earth, in the whole galaxy, in all of God's creation. Could that only have been yesterday, or was it endless light years away? I was thinking that the grass had never smelled grassier. The sky had never seemed so high. Now it's all smashed down upon my head, and I wish I could just melt into the blahness of the universe and cease to exist. Oh, why can't I? How can I face Sharon and Debbie and the rest of the kids? Okay. That's the first pat, and this is written by a 15-year-old girl, right? It's like her. They found her diary right after she was dead, and you have to read this book. But just notice all of these programming words in there. That's what I'm talking about. So this is. I mean, this book messed me up, man. I mean, it did. I was like, well, it messed me up. It's very weird and creepy. Now, for the now, next...
Let me pause you right there. Why don't you inform the audience how it messed you up so that they can get help from that?
Well, that's what I want to get to the end here, is sort of unraveling the stuff, right, on the personal level.
This was a nice point where you could describe what happened to you specifically.
Well, I mean, what happened specifically is it was, you know, honestly... I just remember it as this being kind of like a very dark energy that kind of messed with my head. And I remember not that long afterwards, people starting offering me LSD and stuff. Because she's basically an LSD, you know, it's an, you know, thing. So, let me just go through the diary and I'll explain it. You know, it's something that has come back to me, but I do remember like reading this book and just kind of being like, whoa, it just did something weird. It was, you know what I mean? It was something that
is somebody in the audience actually just said that book made them not do drugs. It messed them up. It impacted them in the act, probably the exact opposite of the intended way.
Well, I'm not saying about doing drugs or not, right? I'm just saying like what it psychologically, sure. And all these references. See, that's what I'm saying. All this is program language. That's what I'm talking about. Program language, program symbology, and all this other stuff that's cutting across all these different medias. So let me just, I'll just read through this a little bit more. Okay, so then it goes on about 20 pages, just like happy-go-lucky BS, right? Oh, going to the game. Next one is, now, like everything else in my life, it's become so much nothing. I don't understand how Roger could have done this. Okay. And then her boyfriend breaks up. Then next part is, I happened to notice the strange shifting patterns on the ceiling. Bill pulled me down. And I read this when I was sixth grade. Bill pulled me down and my head rested in his lap as I watched the pattern. The nurses and doctors keep telling me I will feel better, but I can't get straight. I can't close my eyes because the worms are still crawling on me. They're eating me. They're crawling through my nose and gnawing in my mouth. And oh God, I must get you back in your case because the maggots are crawling off my bleeding, writhing fingers into your pages. I will lock you in. You will be safe. Change to swirling colors, great fields of red, blues, and yellows. I tried to share my beauty with others, but my words came out soggy, wet and dripping, or tasting of color. I pulled myself up and began walking. Okay, and it goes on. I found the original language. Wait, I found the perfect and true original language used by Adam and Eve. But when I tried to explain my words, I used had little to do with my thinking. I was losing it. It was slipping after my grasp. Okay, I could, you know, blah, blah, blah. I hear all the sounds of the instruments. And in the final passage, the worms are eating away my female parts. They have almost entirely eaten away my vagina and my breasts. And now they're working on my mouth and throat. I wish the doctors and nurses would let my soul die, but they're still experimenting with trying to reunite the body and the spirit. This is a kid's book. This is for a sixth grader to read, required reading. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, that.
Well, you know, you've noticed that all of the high school and junior high level required reading books, it's all of this same type of shit, right? I mean, you know, what's one of the big ones that they promote is Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. That's the, you know, the CIA and MI6's darling to roll out, you know, Huxleyan crap. So, you know, I think, you know, we could probably go through all of the required reading books and know that they each one have this same sort of agenda. You know, you want to imprint into kids just like, you know, Blue Oyster Cult that we talked about a number of shows back, you know, and Seasons Don't Fear the Reaper. You know, it's like, you know, the whole song is about killing yourself. So, of course, they're going to imprint that kind of stuff into children and then call it, you know, required reading. But what the kids don't get is this type of analysis with it to know that the CIA and these, you know, these dirtbags are doing this kind of shit to their brains.
Yeah, you know, I do want to, sorry about my mic here tonight. I decided to go high tech, you know, antediluvian. But, you know, basically, no, this is different. I would say it's fundamentally different. I mean, okay, Brave New World, A, you need a pretty high level to understand it. B, it is what it says it is. It's a dystopian novel. It's this. So you're reading it with your guards up as a work of fiction. This is something that's given as reality. It's a diary. It is absorbed.
Even though it's like Anne Frank's diary. It's total fiction, but it's sold as reality.
Yeah, but this is the why this book is interesting and why I focused on this is that it's subliminal, right? It's okay. It's about drugs, but there's so much mind programming NLP language in this. I just pulled out a few quotes from it. This is what I'm talking about. There's different layers, right? Okay, you can read Brave New World now. You know, it's a dystopian novel. You say that's bad, or you read 1984. You know, but this is different, right? This is different because it's put in a different filter. It's given to a younger audience and it's done in a way of programming. And I could, you know, I could read more. But basically the idea is that what I'm trying to say is that there, that what is developed is a filling of this space, right? This kind of mythological space, the space where you would have your religion, where you would have your, or your connection to your ancestors, your grounding, whatever you want to call it, right? But it's beyond yourself, so to speak. It's a larger connection that's stripped away, but yet people are still looking for it. And these are what I would call liminal properties, right? These are sort of like virus-bearing DNA molecules, right? And you know, you find it like SpongeBob is a great example of this too. So I mean, I'm looking at types of encoding. I'm not saying Brave New World isn't that, but this is more like a programming manual that's supposed to go below the conscious threshold and write the code there. And this is being reinforced. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Is that, you follow that? Or?
I do, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So So I guess we got the part two is the occult initiation stuff, which I just want to, you know, it bring up is that this initiatory process in the popular music, right, which has now become so blatant, right? You got Jay-Z saying, hey, I worship Lucifer. You know, I'm here. Unless it was, is that fake too? Is that fake news?
Yeah.
You know, they have with Snopes, right? Snopes is a fake news, fake debunking site.
Yeah. Well, you know, you saw that fiasco last year with Kanye West, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, he left the intel, he left that system. He decided to leave the dark side, let's put it that way. That's what that whole situation was. You know, and he even wrote about it in his music. And, you know, I've been starting to piece together what they did to him behind all of that, too.
Yeah. Well, Jay-Z, you know, this famous thing is backstage. He went ahead and said, hey, you know, I worship Lucifer. This is the real power. This is what I'm doing, et cetera. And I read and seeing that, I was kind of shocked. Like, he's just coming out and saying that. Well, and I read a description of a young woman who had attended one of his concerts, and it was, you know, she was, you know, more of a Christian persuasion, and the way she delineated it, I said, this reminds me, this is an occult initiation ceremony. I mean, and this is actually what is happening now, is the level has stepped up from mere degradation, right? From mere, you know, let's party, even, you know, AC/DC Highway to Hell, you take that as like,
right, yeah,
you know, no stop signs, no speed limits, I'm going to the promised land, yeah, I'm gonna drunk drive my way to the grave, you know. Okay, but
like Bon Scott,
yeah. I can still sing even though I'm fat, but what's interesting is actually what's going on, if you look at it, is this initiatory process, right? So if you look at, you know, you go back to the early witch trials, you know, 1500s, 1600s, I just wanted to read a few examples of that, which are very similar to what's going on in the popular music industry and what's going on in the videos and the ramped up level symbolism. Because it's not just about, you know, okay, we got this, you know, we had Ozzy bit the head off a chicken, and now, you know, Beyonce's going to bite the head off a, you know, two geese at the same time or something. You know, you're not just trying to ramp it. Beyonce, you know, you're not just trying to ramp it up. It's a different level. It's a different meaning, because it shows that the generational soil, right, has been tilled to the fact now it's just direct initiation. Like you go into this null point, right? You go into this, whatever you want to call it, the point of evil, this, which I would describe as this false reality, this false heaven, and this false sacred time, right? So that's what's being put in here with these occult initiations. But just a few things. These are from various manuscripts from the 16th century. But okay, the ceremony for admission, number one, is free consent of the candidate, explicit detail and rejection of previous religion, absolute dedication of mind and soul to the services and command of the new God, which would be like your star, right? You're following the star, you're a punk rock. I mean, if Jay-Z asked you to, you know, twerk for him, Jan, you twerk for Jay-Z, right?
Twerk? Okay. I don't even know what that word means. I don't know, dude.
Unfortunately, I learned what it meant, and it was really unpleasant. But
is that like learning about two girls, one cup in a bad way, and you never want to hear it again?
I'm not sure what that is, and I don't want to know. But anyways,
yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
But what I was interesting that I found was that, so just from that looking in for it, like his concerts are like, they're like, they mirror initiation ceremonies, right? Yeah. Hold your hand up. You know, all this stuff you're affirming, you're being led in, right? And if you don't stop, okay. But okay. Some of the aspects of the witch, you know, the witch's mark, right? So once you take that vow, you get a witch's mark, you get a, you know, a sign. It can either be a mark on your skin, a tattoo on the right hand finger, various types of tattoos, so that you take a mark, a voluntary mark, to show that you've joined that, you know, that group or their cult. And so basically these were tattoos, especially, you know, on the right hand, on the fingers, but all their there's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes along with it.
Now, why would it be on the right hand if it's a satanic thing? Wouldn't they want to put it on the left hand, or is it like a denial of the right?
You know, it's there's a lot of different, you know, witches marks. I mean, one of them are tattoos on the right hand, right, which you'll see. Like, you see, like, rock stars, you know, metal guys with tattoos. You know, it is an inversion. You take that. There's also, you know, different types of piercings, drawing blood, you know, cutting, piercing, all this punk stuff. And then the other thing is that this is all based on this dance, right? So you dance. In fact, many times in all these trials, mostly the Satan or the Lucifer is described as a tall black man. It almost sounds like Jay-Z, actually. My God.
Let's not get into a discussion of Lilith there too. That goes into a whole wild thing.
Well, I mean, it's there's so many. I mean, I could talk for 10 hours just on the music videos and all the levels.
Don't tempt the audience. They'll keep you here, and then you're going to be sick by the end of it.
but let me just read you some of this stuff. This is from 1625, Swalding Club. The dances are strange and wonderful and diabolical. For turning themselves back to back, they take one another by the arms and raise each author from the ground and then shake their heads to and fro like antics and turn themselves if they were mad. They dance and sing with these words, Hare, devil, devil, dance, dance, here, dance, play.
Maybe
here,
you shouldn't
play.
Repeat the whole thing verbatim.
Oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't. Okay, I don't want to. Yeah. But that's. Even the lyrics, dance, dance, play here, dance here. This, I mean, you can even find similar things in the videos. I mean, if you go to this, there's a whole, you know, like I said, there's a whole range of that. So this particular, you know, process, people are actually initiating themselves. It's not just like, you know, and the signs are there, the markers, and then you bowing down to the master becomes the, you know, the pop star becomes the, you know, becomes the embodiment of Lucifer or whatever you call it, that dark energy or force. And so more and more it's explicit. It's, you know, Beyonce Lemonade. And so even the MKUltra, the mind control themes are interwoven exactly with this voluntary satanic initiation, as well as taking that initiation to gain success, fame, and stardom, right? So all these aspects are there. And I think that it goes beyond just showing a video and trying to, you know, like kiss with their super long tongues hanging out. No, I think this is on a very different level, especially because most of the age ranges are very young. Like the same, you know, when I read Go Ask Alice or something, right? So that's a difference that's going on at this sort of very ramped up war. You have the material aspect, but also the war on consciousness, I think, is really being dialed in.
What do you think of the idea of individual versus social fall or social degradation?
I mean, I think they're interconnected. I mean, it depends, right? So you can be in a society that is degraded, that is falling, and you can not fall.
Right.
And that actually goes into the last point. I think I might actually kind of get all my points in almost on time, so that's great.
So, well, and you know, we started like 10, 12 minutes late, so you can go over 6 if you need to, you know, whatever. You know, I don't cut you off at 6 p.m.
No, that's fine, man. You cut me off.
Yeah, but if you're fevering and all that crap, you're gonna have to go anyway.
Yeah, my fear was I was just gonna sneeze. You know, I was sneezing nonstop till I came on the air, and then the sound didn't work. I haven't sneezed yet, so
I didn't do the show for 2 weeks in a row. My sinuses were so jacked, man. It was just absolutely miserable.
Yeah, well, no, but so the individual versus the social fall. I mean, here's the thing that. You know, when you look into this, and this is where, you know, I have, you know, I've done some work, you know, on myself also, my own perceptions, as well as just, you know, I'm not just observing, you know, the the world around me. And
of course, you can't go through all of this stuff without doing work on yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's, you know, there's moments of choice, right? And there, I know, man, let me just fix it. We got to
push it back a little bit so it's not blocking your face there.
Okay. Ah, it's working. It's like the War of the Worlds. It's a day of the Tri-Fizz, man. There we go. Now I had another mic stand, and then because my lights, it just looked like I looked like Christ. Actually, I had so many.
Yeah, like if I turn on that kitchen light back there, the same thing happens.
Yeah, so I just I brought the Japanese screen in, and then the mic I used to.
I should probably put something like that, but you know, I've been the kitchen has been the backdrop for so long. People might freak if I actually changed it. You know.
Well, I mean, I can take it back. It's just going to be, you know. You can see that. Let's see.
It's blocking the glare just fine this time. So
Beyonce's back there waiting for me, putting on her stockings.
oh, yuck. Satan love.
No, I mean, it's you know, the thing is, it's repulsive, right? It's and
betting down with Lilith couldn't be more repulsive.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man, is that it was there, right? So, you know, we can trace a little bit. Let's say Mick Jagger, you know, pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name, right? But still, even at that point, it was, you know, you could still say it's like Bad Boy. It's real edgy. Even it's like occult edgy. But now it's like, no, you are entering into this. And in fact, you know, they've reached such a, you know, it's far beyond just, you know, using shock value or even using symbolic stuff. They literally are initiations, and they're aligned. So you can see it, you know, over time. But anyways, so the individual versus social, you know, social downfall, so to speak. I mean, that is a core point. This is where this is actually stepping back from it, and even going back and you know, in your life, right? I mean, I had to go back and say, wait, I may have made choices at these moments. You know what I mean? You're like, hey, you want to take this hit of acid? We're gonna go to the club, and you're thinking, no, I shouldn't do it. Okay, you know.
I remember my very first acid trip. I was like 16, and you know, I was seeing all this devil demon shit. And then I went back and I did it again. It's like it's telling you it's bad. You know, it's like don't do this stuff. You go look in the mirror, and it's like you. It looks like you're seeing Satan or something. And it's like, wait, you know, maybe this stuff isn't good to be taken. You know, it warns you.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, but there's, you know, there's a lot of residual stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that we, you know, you can't help. But
you're about to get attacked, I think, by your mic.
No, it's safe now.
Oh, it is? You sure? Because, I mean, you're almost out of screen. The mic is occupied most of the interview. There you go.
All right. I had someone complain. He's like, he's got a studio. How come he never uses a mic? Yeah. I'm like, because I'm a Jew. I got to save money. Now, anyways.
He's joking, folks. Don't get all uppity and like try to take that out of context.
No. I've had a lot of people accuse me of that and being a show.
Yeah, Hans Utter. Well, I've actually had people accuse me of that. I'm freaking Danish, dude. It's like you freaking morons, you know.
Yeah. So, well, let me just. Okay, I'm just gonna die. Actually, I have a whole bunch more shit that I didn't cover, but. Just briefly, you know, so, you know, quote from, this is, you know, Jimmy Page, he did think he was Satan's puppet for a while, or maybe it was just the drugs kicking in. I really wish I knew why I'd done the things I've done over the years. Sometimes I think I'm possessed by some outside spirit. A few years ago, I was convinced of that. I thought I was truly possessed by the devil. I remember sitting through The Exorcist a dozen times, saying to myself, yeah, I can relate to that. Neil Young, rock and roll is everybody's effing music. I would certainly hope that it's the devil's music, but it's not just the devil's music. I think that's where the God and devil shake hands, right there. Let's see, one more quote here.
Definitely not.
This is, of course, John Lennon. We've all heard this, but John Lennon, Mr. John Lennon, right? Christianity, Lennon, notice his name, Lennon. Lenin, huh? It sounds familiar. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a communist. Oh, wait. Imagine. The guy who wrote the Communist Manifesto or the guy that murdered 15 million people?
I don't know. Okay. Christianity will go. It will vanish and shrink. Okay. I didn't argue about that. I'm right. I'll be proved right. We're more popular now than Jesus. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. It's them twisting it that ruins it for me. Thanks, John Lennon. No, 24-year-old dude,
already knows and rejects logos, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got going on. You know, the shamanism, Stooges, Summer of 69, da da da. You know, so it goes on and on, right? But I'm telling you now, it is on a different level. And it is because of, you know, the carving away of that space, right? So we have our generalized localization to our environments, to who and what we are. Social media has now fractured that, right? All this other stuff. Media interface, all this other stuff has spread that out. And then at the same time, you know, you go in with these much deeper levels or modules. And then you have everything, right? False reality. Is Sandy Hook, is it a hoax? Is it real? You know, did Elvis, you know, is he from Mars? You know, is this that? And you have double disinfo, edge, this is real. No, it's disinfo, right? So you have this entire sort of fracturing of the space that we can even understand or demarcate as reality, because you don't even know what's actually happening, right? It's being retracted from you. At the same time, you have the insanity of these government policies that are just going mad, right? Just absolute madness, just, over the top. I mean, to the point where I couldn't imagine it would reach this far, but it has. But, you know, I was seeing this about a year and a half ago, and I had a pretty clear presentment, and unfortunately, I really regret to say it is being implemented. And
here's a disturbing question, Hans. How much has the CIA and intel community ramped this crap up because of our exposure of them, do you think?
That's a great question. I don't know. That's a great point. It leads to kind of a disturbing conclusion, which I'll share with you because, hey, we should be disturbed, is that there could be a bifurcation, right? In that you have the zombie mass is being ramped up so high, they got the frequency on so high, that unless you're a total zombie or just a, you know, whatever, you know, brain dead idiot, you're just going to say, wait, what's wrong with this, right? So it's a way of culling. That's possible. And there is an agenda. I think there is a timeline. It definitely, the one thing is this, is that with everything that's going on, the frontier of the mind, of consciousness, of this quote unquote sacred or mythological time or actual connection is still there. And it's really, that's where I think a lot of these efforts are being generated. Because, yeah, you can, you know, there has to be this voluntary, that's why you have all these laws coming in, you know, different types of hate speech laws or, you know, anti-Hans law. I'm going to put one of those in. If you criticize me, you have to give me $150,000. I mean, that's
I'm going to pass one that if the CIA fucks with me anymore, they got to pay me $1 million each instance and pay me for all the past instances as well.
Yeah. Well, let me just, okay, I'll finish up here. There's a bunch of other things I want to talk about. You know, music as the sacrificing, the sacrificial ritual is also part of this sacred time, right? So there's a sacrifice of the year, right? And sometimes you do have, you know, certain peoples, you know, they have human sacrifice, whatever, which sucks, right? For the person being sacrificed. But it's different at least qualitatively, if it's somebody in the middle of a rainforest with four, you know, in some small tribe, as well, then when it's put, you know, as part of this extremely developed massive edifice of Western culture. So this is this creation of this false reality, not only the false or the distortion and removal of the actual place and time, but the sacred, the way out, or whatever you want to call it, is replaced by this other false realm, right? Which is it's being initiated. But so just to go into that, I had to reverse engineer, which is, I should have done that earlier maybe, but first of all, this is an impact, right? There is an impact, whether or not you think this hasn't impacted you. If you've grown up, unless you grew up, you know, homeschooled in a cave somewhere, raised by wolves, which is, you know, that'd be pretty cool, you know.
Sheepdogs, not wolves, sorry.
Sheepdogs, yeah. You know, you're going to be impacted by it, you know, to a greater or lesser extent, right? And so in terms of unraveling this, I started, you know, initially I was looking at the Muzak stuff, right? And I got much deeper into all these interconnected symbolic things that shape our identities, and we don't even know they're there, right? They get relegated. How about like The Breakfast Club? You ever seen that movie?
Yeah, of course. Molly Ringwald and all them.
But look, I mean, kids are still watching that movie, right? They're watching that movie, The Dead Poets Society. These are these coming of age movies. This is
Breakfast Society. That was like the lowest budget film ever. Put all the kids in a dormitory and hit film for 4 hours and done.
You got a couple million in your pocket, you know.
That was one of the biggest hit movies of the 80s, man.
how about Crispin Glover, that freak, man, that he's but you know, look at that. See, you identify. What I'm trying to tell you is this does go into your subconscious mind.
I can still think of, what was that song? I'll stop the world and melt with you, you know. Look at the look on your face, dude.
Dude, my microphone stand is staying upright. I don't know what to say what that means, but.
Smart ass.
Oh, so Simon just rubbed a little metal here.
Somebody wrote Hypno Wood.
but see, these things, when you notice, okay, there's an agglomerative effect, right? What I mean to say is that some of these things will, it's almost like, you know, if you look at like, you know, hyperdimensional game theory, you're throwing out this huge net. Some of these things may catch in you. You may not even know, right? And so imagine it's this massive, you know, array of hooks, and you know what I mean? That's all the play. And then there is a way to sort of link those together. And they will, what I'm saying, they'll go with events of your life, right? So it's not just like, these are just floating in space, especially with these things that are connected, you know, with early childhood education, as these inputs are followed over time. Again, with character actors, with scenarios, with music, and it's quite complex. Now, whether or not every single aspect of that is engineered, I certainly can't say, but there's a lot of interconnections. And when you look at the children's books, you look at each generation, the music they started listening to, right? Or the movies they saw, you know, what is, you know, or the books, you know, maybe not so much anymore. I don't know if the kids even read anymore. I don't think so. But
I don't think anyway. So, you know, and they judge intelligence these days by what social engineering programs and stuff they accept rather than their, you know, their cognitive functioning.
Yeah. So what I want to say is this, there is an impact. I mean, I that's why I brought up Go Ask Alice, because that it just came. I remembered it. And I just remember it just being this kind of really weird thing that kind of messed me up somehow. And I couldn't understand why. And I'm reading it, I'm like, now I understand why. But, you know, it's a natural part of human development, right? If you're raised as a child in society, you are going to absorb this stuff. You can't help it. This is, you know, as a child, this stuff is coming into you. It's somehow going to be filtered, you know, unless you're like some enlightened avatar of Krishna, you know, you're not going to necessarily be able to bounce all that stuff out of your mind. When your parents threw you in front of the television set to watch, watch cartoons, or all this other stuff, right? So this is how this stuff is. It's like a subconscious threshold level. I'm not talking about the overt stuff. So part of it is just saying, you know, for myself, I'd be like, man, this stuff can't touch me. Can't touch this. Remember that guy? MC Hammer? Okay.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah, thanks for that. Just what I needed in my head, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm telling you, is that these repeated songs, these little repeated type of phrases, right? You know, you might, again, it takes a bit of depth of awareness, right? You may not catch it, and maybe other people won't catch it much at all, but it's there, especially when, you know, you have a bit of discomfort, physical discomfort. So you have real events, real emotions, and internal identification, which means that these things are sliding in between, right? Imagine you got hooks, an array of hooks, and they may capture one part of your mind or whatever you call it, spirit, whatever. Does that make sense? So, you know, you're throwing out 50,000 hooks, but there's a way to array those, you know, with, again, hype, you know, game theory and stuff. And so what that leads to is a type of, even a subconscious level of merging your mind into the constructed reality. When you notice this stuff is when you start to wake up, right? When you suddenly, you learn all this stuff and you're around other people and you know what I mean? And you just can't, like, you cannot relate to them anymore.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. You know, you shed dozens and dozens of friends and pick up the three or four good ones that actually understand this stuff that you can communicate with anymore, because, you know, you can't, you know, if the depth of your conversations is last night's TV and the grocery store list, that's, you know, it gets pretty mind numbing after a while.
Yeah. Yes. So in terms of this, I think that especially for, obviously, here's the other side of it, is that when you're part of that, it's very comfortable, right? If you're part of that mainstream world, you just dive back in there. It's like a nice warm soup. You're floating in that soup. It's not uncomfortable at all. It's great. You don't know anything different, right? So this is, I guess, more directed towards, you know, when you step out of it and you think this stuff doesn't affect me anymore. What I'm trying to say is I think it can have effects. And effects meaning that there's things that are there, right? As I've gone into this in terms of inner observation, there's almost like a wall of noise, right? There's all, you know, all the media and stuff. It's almost like all these dancing cartoon characters, because even as a child, I came to realize, like, we watch a cartoon, you identify your body image as that cartoon character, right? A little bit subconsciously, like you almost project yourself into that cartoon. And why I know this is because I'm enlightened. Yeah, but no, actually, as I observe, I just noticed today, I watched the show Alpha State. It's relatively funny. It's not great. It's an Amazon. The only thing I can stand on their horribly, overly bloated budget films. But it's a political, you know, political show. It's basically mocking the right wing, which I guess probably maybe include me. No. But the thing is, watching that, I started to realize I was identifying at certain moments with characters in this show. Just, I would see, I noticed on this sort of rear projection screen, you know, that I'm identifying, any of you guys have seen that show, you know, you got like the little Mormon dude and this and that. I realized like there's some level of identification that I was kind of approaching, you know, reality just from watching, you know.
Are you gonna start voting for Hillary tomorrow, you know, next again? You know, you gonna go back to the communist stuff?
Yeah, man. You better. We wrap up here. But what I'm saying, dude, that was like Jan, technically, like, you know, I could have taken my pants off and just danced. I would have been less personal than what I just shared with you. Okay. Okay. I know I said that I realized just watching the show, right? We've been, you know, I've been watching it, you know, because it's entertaining. It's pretty funny, right? Even though it's, you know, the guy, one character's like, oh, global warming. And everyone's laughing. I'm like, yeah, global warming. But so it's funny, but it's, I realize that these characters, as I've become aware of this, there's, you know, there's a certain reflexive part of your mind that's identifying with that. And you go back in the childhood. So that is there, right? So, so this described as a subconscious ground. The fact is that various junctures of our lives, of our emotional, major emotional experiences have been subverted, captivated, and redrawn for us, right, by the power of the media and by other things, right? So, you know, events in our lives, right? Like, you know, people would take the Breakfast Club or take one of these movies. That's what it means to be in love. It's like, I mean, like in that movie, right? Even if they don't state it consciously, right? So even if it's not directly impacted you, it's impacted you. So this whole process is, you know, just to jettison this stuff. Like I said, it gets inside what's there, right? So if someone puts a pincer into my muscle, I still have my muscle here, right? But that pincer is in there. But if I don't extract that pincer and pretend it's not there, it's going to start tearing that fabric. So that's, I think that people that have sort of started to wake up, maybe at another point I can go into a more detailed thing. But the primary thing is, you know, developing an awareness and saying, wait, at least in my experience now, at least from certain generation, I mean, I think there is a part of the mind that is a reflexive screen that's been kind of programmed into us that bounces these images back and does do that. And once you can shatter that, then suddenly there's a lot of integration that will come from doing that. And at the same time, it really, you know, awakens a lot of ire, because I mean, this is, it's terrible, right? It's really horrible to undertake such an endeavor. Starting from early childhood, I mean, they did the same thing. They had early 50s, they had these communist books, the folk song books were given out to kids and all this stuff. And this is the indoctrination messages. When you trace them, then you understand why it's now the initiatory orifice, right? Okay, you go into reality. Go ahead and take this path. And so I think they're really bringing a large amount of people into this absolutely evil, dark, false reality, which I think that's, we're kind of at the cusp of that.
Elon Musk and all of that stuff. Yeah, they're trying to ramp it up here by 2040, whatever, 45, I guess, 40 something for their singularity, as the left calls their Satanist apocalypse or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, wow, dude, you're like only like 2 minutes over an hour tonight. Like, what do we do?
Oh, I got more material, man. You know, always.
Should we like, you want to do a part two on all of this and let you rest while you?
I recuperate. Yeah. Well, you know, just to say one thing, I mean, this whole thing is, you know, information warfare, narrative warfare is one aspect of this being studied and articulated, right? But we do have to look at, like, I was reading Obedience to Authority. Have you read that book? Oh my God, it's so hard to read.
Obedience to Authority? No.
Milgram, Stanley Milgram, his famous experiment.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't read his book, but I'm familiar with the, you know, they were talking about it in the chat room a bit ago.
Well, yeah. No, that book is famous, but reading the actual text, you're like, it's very interesting to see, you know, that, like I said, a lot of this stuff, the power, the Go Ask Al stuff that I read, it sounds like, you know, maybe out of context, but imagine you're a 12-year-old kid. You don't know what a cigarette is, much less, you know, a huge, you know, sugar cube full of LSD is. And you're reading this book, and these little psychedelic surreal passages are embedded in, like, we went to the dance with Roger, and then Daddy and I had a barbecue. But, you know, come on. You think this little 15-year-old girl that died of drug overdose, you know, with a, you know, do you think she wrote that shit? No. And of course, the author wrote a bunch of other these fake diaries. But we're, you know, like I said, so, but what does that do to you? You're uncomfortable and you're trying to get through it. That's where one level of programming comes into, right? The second level is entertainment, the relaxation, this idea of entertainment where your boundaries are down, but also why you need to be entertained, man. You want to be challenged, you know? I mean, go ahead.
Well, you know, how do we create a proactive system to go after these people that are producing this kind of shit and say, hey, you know, we know what you're doing. Like, is there any way to hold their, you know, hold them responsible for this kind of bullshit they're putting out? I mean, you know, obviously most of them are assets or agents of one alphabet agency or another, but, you know, is there something that we can do to make people accountable for this type of crap? You know, it's like putting out these songs. I mentioned Blue Oyster Cult earlier, and not every kid who reads one of these books is going to go out and kill themselves or take a whole bunch of the CIA's LSD and crap and get mind controlled. But, you know, they're looking for the couple that do. And, you know, they put enough of these books out, enough of these songs out, enough of these TV shows out, etc. And you're going to affect a lot of people into, you know, this drastic millennial situation right now where we've got the, you know, stupidest bunch of people coming out of colleges that I've ever seen before.
Well, you know, I'm just going to throw some in there as a tangent, but do you ever see the movie Harold and Maude?
Maybe, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, I guess I had to. I was lucky enough to go to this sort of retroactive hippie high school, right? So it was this little. So we got a lot of these older 70s, you know, holdovers. Like, so we had to watch this movie every year, and it's about this kid who's an undertaker who falls in love with like an 85-year-old woman, and they have this love affair. Harold and Maude. I watched it like three, five. I just remembered it. I had to watch that in high school. So that stuff was like, you know, I guess, you know, I'm kind of lucky in that I got to experience kind of a antecedent, you know, delayed reaction programming, some of this stuff. Can we hold them accountable? I mean, it's kind of like, that's a good question because there's multiple levels, right? I mean, you've got the, you know, you got the social engineering level, you've got the, you know what I mean? You have all the whatever, but I you know, I'm also talking about, you know, it really a replacement of the entire human experience, even the level of imagination, memory, even the principle of having a possible type of transcendence. So in all these things, you know, people are not, you know, you may have, you know, behind a particular act or a particular thing, you may have 10 different, 100 different people, and, you know, probably 75 of them just trying to make their paycheck. And then, you know, maybe there's a couple people that want to push the gay agenda, you know, a couple people want to push the trans agenda, and a couple people want to put the, you know, the drug use agenda, and then anti-white agenda, and then this agenda, that agenda, right? But there's an overarching level, which I said is this. It's almost like you collapse the culture and you're going down this cliff and you just go ahead and take the initiatory step into this, which, you know, you've done all that pedo-gate stuff, right? So that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's a reality. I mean, this is like the dark planet that's circling ours.
It amazes me that people don't think that stuff is real. You know, it's just how freaking delusional can you be, you know? Whatever.
Well, I don't think, how are you going to hold them accountable, man? I mean, you know, they don't care. I mean, they're gonna twist it back on you. They're gonna say they're not accountable.
It's
they're
like
gonna
this
say,
guy. There was a guy recently who came up with an idea, and I'm not remembering his name, to hold corporations accountable for what they're doing. You know, I'm just wondering if, you know, if we look at this issue from another direction, maybe there's a way to do it. But I don't have any idea. You know, it's like what we can do is just show people how to see and identify it and try to reduce the damage. You know, I mean, there's 150, 160 people watching the show tonight. Get them all to, you know, help support this show. Go out, promote, you know, so that we can do more. Go out, promote the stuff, tell other people about this stuff, share the work. But, you know, beyond that, what do we need to do to just...
Well, fundamentally, I mean, this is what's been very interesting for me, right, is that there's a whole aspect of this that hinges on its inhabitation in the host mind. A lot of this stuff is mind created, right? So as soon as you can shift out of it, drop out of it, and then start to connect with people, ideally, actually, in real direct interaction, I think that is the most powerful thing against it, because if, you know, if they had won, they wouldn't even need to go to this level, right? So I think that is, you know, once you see it, once you see what it is, okay, once you realize that, wait, this stuff has been programmed into my mind, even parts of my subconscious I didn't know existed, they put a little, you know, a little vibrating shit in there. And I think this, not, I think a lot of people, you know, it's hard to go into that. It's not fun, right? But at the same time, it's like you throw that off. It's almost like you tear the curtain, right? And that is the way to hold them accountable. So this is just lies. It's nothing.
Yeah, just shine the light of truth in there and watch them scatter like the cockroaches they are. But we've been doing that for years. What more can we do, you know?
Yeah, I think the main thing is you develop, get more of yourself, your center of yourself, and try to build, rebuild communities. The problem is how many people, like, I, you know, most people you talk about stuff, they'll run over, you know, jump over dumpsters, dive off rooftops to get away from you. You know, so after this point, the only thing is left is sheer violence. Yeah, it's like, no, stop.
Don't tell me the truth. How dare you shatter my beliefs in my heroes? You know, everybody's got their sacred cows.
But see, notice that worship. That's what I wanted to bring apart. You worship your master. Yeah. You follow your master. That's this initiation. And the thing is, they're telling you the whole time. The Grateful Dead, they're telling you, hey, here's what we're doing right in front of your face. Go ahead. Hey, here's what we're doing. You still want to do it? Yeah. Okay. You know,
well, you know, that's what the Grateful Dead means, too. I mean, you know, and I wanted to mention this to you. I figured this out recently. I was going through, have been going through, still doing it, reading the Bible, Book of Mormon, and Quran all together and just getting mind-blowing stuff out of there. But the Grateful Dead term in there, so in the New Testament, Jesus is going around waking up all of the dead people, right? So they're not physically dead, they're mentally dead. So when they become awake to the light of truth or to logos, then they are, then they become awake, right? So they're no longer the sleeping dead. So the Grateful Dead, you know, it's not from this Egyptian nonsense it's actually from the Bible, but the Grateful Dead are those who are grateful that they're asleep and mind controlled and stupid and dumbed down, right?
Wow.
So they actually put it right in everybody's face. You're gratefully dead that we've got you brainwashed. But if you go through and you read the Gospels, it makes it clear what the dead is. You know, so it's directly, they took it directly out of the Bible.
That's amazing, man. And so the Grateful Dead is not even like the resurrected. No, they're the gratefully dead zombies.
Absolutely. Bingo. We got it. So, you know, I mean, unfortunately, we didn't get to include that in the Grateful Dead expose, but, you know, at least now it's out there so people can get where they got that. And then you just go in and you read the Gospels. You know, once you understand that, you know, the whole story is about, you know, you and I have talked about this before too, and you even said it before I said it, but, you know, once you get that God is truth itself, you know, not a dude floating around in the sky with a beard and all this stuff and a big throne. It's truth, the truth, anything that's true, truth, right? So then once you get that, you can see what the whole thing is. And then Jesus is this hero dude going around and exposing all the lies. And he's like got the trivium as his shield. And he's like, ha ha, you know, I'm going to expose you bastards. And everybody hates him for exposing all this stuff. But he's, you know, and then he's going around waking up the dead people, and then those who are, here we go. We're going to have to cut it because I can see it coming on you, too. I thought you were going to do that about 15 minutes ago.
No, I've been holding. No, I agree with you. I mean, that's the thing that, I mean, you know, these people, by their very nature, are not accountable because they see their work as the destruction of reality, the destruction of that which sustains the human and is beyond the human, and this natural order or law that dwells there, they see their impetus to destroy, subvert, and create this other reality based on absolute total control. Because you have to control, once you go on that path, you have to control everything. But It is on the level, like I said, it's on the mind level primarily. I mean, it's like I said, the next, yeah, you can go, you can have death, you know, you can have your house is firebombed, you got machine guns, which is happening in Europe. I mean, just real quick thing, all these things that are happening right now would have never been possible if people's minds had not been so weakened.
Absolutely. It
would never been possible. Never been possible. And so I think that, you know, a big part is, I will say this seriously, is that it's, you know, you to really, you know, I'm happy, shoot me an email. I'm happy to, you know, give anybody, you know, discuss this. I mean, you do have to go a bit into yourself. You have to realize that, you know, that some of this stuff is still operating in you. And I think this is maybe a more advanced stage of stepping out. But as you discharge that, in my experience, which is weird, right? It's kind of like this. It's like the Indra, the Hindu god, with like a million armed taser. They're like taser, little taser points in your consciousness, and maybe only a few of them stuck. But once you discharge those, then that the overall power system starts to lose and wind down. And what you'll find is, which is very weird, but we can explain it, is other people, if someone is completely controlled, they're like, their head's all lit up and they just relate to the next person. Oh, they're like all buzzing together, all their things, okay, hope that wasn't too far out with my little metaphor, but that's what I think it is. So I think that's the accountability, is you become accountable for yourself. It's hard not to become really angry.
You got to, and to be accountable, you have to stay consistent with reality. And then that forces you to start, being responsible and being, that's when honor and lost things like, let's let you go. You gotta go to bed. I can tell you're starting to lose it there. So anyway, Hans, let's have you back on in a couple of weeks. I just got over that cold. I wish you luck with it. It is the most miserable frickin' cold ever. And, I know you're going to be going through hell probably. It took me 2 weeks to get it out of my system, dude. It's bad, man. So I wish you luck. I'll have you back 2 weeks from tonight. It should be just about done by then.
Okay.
Yeah. And, what's that?
No, I only sneezed once on air.
I can tell you're losing it right now. So anyway, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, cool. Please, support the show. We had one donation tonight. Thanks, Brian, for that. Everybody, please support. We can't put all of this enlightening information out to get you free of the Plato's cave if you don't support and keep helping us out with this. Hans, thank you so much for coming on, and thanks for helping me deal through my audio issues getting going when we launch tonight. And we'll see you back in a couple of weeks. And I wish you good health and Godspeed.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jan. And, I've got 5 books going to be coming out soon. So please definitely appreciate any support.
Wow. 5.
HansUtter.com. Yeah. They're different genres.
Dude, I can tell you're going to lose it right now, man. You look like you're about to fall over, dude. I'm going to let you go.
All right. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night. Let me turn that off, too. Good night, everyone.